Hello everyone. So I have more sexual boundaries to outline. So I decided not to sleep with people who have high neuroticism. I decided not to sleep with people who possess this character trait, which is accompanied by chronic negative effect, including anxiety, fearfulness, tension, irritability, anger, dejection, hopelessness, guilt, and shame. Difficulty in inhibiting impulses in the predominant symptom, as well as irrational beliefs, unrealistic expectations, perfectionistic demands on the self, and unwarranted pessimism. I'm not saying I would never sleep with people that don't feel happy all the time. What I'm saying is that I don't sleep with people who lack emotional self-regulation, who lack emotional literacy, who lack emotional intelligence. In other words, I don't sleep with people who allow emotional dysregulation to control them. Next, I don't sleep with people who possess overly high extroversion. I don't sleep with people who possess this character trait, which is characterized by excessive talking, leading to inappropriate self-disclosure, social friction, and an inability to spend time alone. All these behaviors are also accompanied by an overly dramatic expression of emotions, wild excitement seeking, and improper attempts to dominate and control others. What that means for me is that I don't sleep with people who are fascinated by word vomit and verbal diarrhea. I don't sleep with people who are low. I don't sleep with people who are of low openness, which results in difficulties with adapting to social or personal change, and a low tolerance or understanding of different points of views or lifestyles. For me, that means that I can't sleep with people who are of rigidity, meaning they always want things to never change, remain the same. Even if that means they never grow, they never mature, they never develop for the better. I don't sleep with people who are of low agreeableness. I don't sleep with people who have this line of a character, which is characterized by cynicism and paranoid thinking. The affected people are unable to trust even friends or family members, are frequently too ready to pick fights, and are exploitive and manipulative, lying, rude, and inconsiderate toward friends, something which may lead to alienation. They have a limited social support network, lack the respect for social conventions, which can result in troubles with the law, have an inflated and grandiose sense of self, and show arrogance. What that means for me is that I can't sleep with people who dishonor their own trauma triggers carelessly. I don't sleep with people who are of high conscientiousness. I don't sleep with people who score high on conscientiousness on personality tests, which means they're often recognizable by overachievement, workaholic absorption in a job, which can cause the exclusion of family, social, personal interests. These are often signs of compulsiveness, I'll throw in impulsiveness too, including excessive cleanliness, tidiness, and attention to detail. In other words, I don't sleep with people who live their lives in pointless, meaningless extremities. Next. I want to be honest and say that I also don't sleep with energy vampires. So for one, I don't sleep with the critic type of energy vampires. It says, according to IHTBIO.com, energy vampires use criticizing to steal energy from others. When someone is critical, they are taking away energy that the critic may need for themselves. It can be done in several ways. By creating an argument, making assumptions, or simply being negative, criticism can be a valuable tool in life, but should always be considered before being spoken aloud. They often take advantage of vulnerable people who need support. Energy vampires can be anyone, but they tend to be people who are not taking care of themselves. They may have a problematic relationship with their energy or may have lost touch with their power. These individuals often use criticism as a way to take away the energy of others and feel power from the process. In other words, I don't sleep with people who embrace unproductive criticism and destructive criticism. I don't sleep with people who reject constructive criticism. Next, I don't sleep with a control freak type of energy vampire. Energy vampires use their control and manipulative tendencies to steal energy from their victims, often without even realizing it. It can be done in several ways, such as talking over someone or monopolizing the conversation. They also tend to be very good at making people feel small and insignificant, which makes them easier prey, P-R-E-Y, for taking away their energy. This type of energy vampire is hazardous to be around, as they can often take away a lot of energy without anyone realizing it. It can lead to people feeling tired, drained, and depressed, which makes them easy targets for other types of predators and perpetrators. In other words, I don't sleep with people who are bossy and domineering. Number three, I don't sleep with drama queens or drama kings. Emotional vampires use drama to steal energy from others. They use emotional tactics such as accusing their targets of being unfair or unsupportive, of getting them to withdraw their energy. Energy vampires may also try to guilt their targets into giving them what they want by insisting they are causing themselves pain or harm. They are parasitic entities that need to feed on other people to survive by using kindness, drama, and emotional manipulation. They can take away the energy of their targets without anyone realizing it. It could lead to genuine harm or even physical illness for those drawn into the vampire's web. In other words, I don't sleep with people who enjoy toxicity. I don't sleep with the entitlement energy vampires. They use their entitlement to steal energy, often without meaning or knowing that they're doing it. It could be anyone from a family member to a coworker, and everyone around them can feel the impact of their behavior. When someone is an energy vampire, they tend to take more than they give back. They may come across as entitled or selfish and may not realize how much energy they take from others until it's too late. Energy vampires can be a significant drain on the resources of those around them, and their behavior can also have negative consequences. They take away energy from others, and their actions may lead to conflicts or arguments. In some cases, an energy vampire's habits may even result in damage to property or loss of money. In other words, I don't sleep with people who they want to have all the rights, and they don't want to have other people to have any rights at all. I don't sleep with the human energy vampires. Energy vampires are people who use their energy to steal the energy of others. They can do this by sitting near someone and taking away their energy. It could be a problem because their unwanted energy exchange takes away the energy that could be used to do things like work or stay healthy. They can also lead to people becoming tired and having trouble concentrating. In other words, I don't sleep with people who delight in sucking the life out of others. I don't sleep with the I am better than you energy vampire type. Energy vampires use their egos and self-worth to steal energy from others. They are often people already in a position of power with a lot of money. They use their charm or persuasion to get people to give them energy and validation, often without knowing it, and can be very subtle in their approach. And many people don't even know they're being taken advantage of till it's too late. In other words, I don't sleep with egotistical bastards. Next, I don't sleep with the judge energy vampire types. Judgment is a powerful tool energy vampires use to steal energy from an unsuspecting individual, relying on their intuition and judgment to determine whether or not someone is an easy target. Then they take advantage of that person by draining their energy level without realizing it. This type of behavior can be incredibly harmful because it steals away vital resources from people who are simply trying to live everyday lives. It can also have long-term consequences if left unchecked. In other words, I don't sleep with moral cowards. Next, I don't sleep with the narcissist energy vampire types. An inflated sense of self-importance characterizes narcissism, a need for admiration, and a lack of empathy for others. People with narcissism are often able to exploit others because they view them as objects that can be used to fulfill their own needs rather than people with whom they have relationships. People who are energy vampires use narcissism to steal energy from other people. They take advantage of the fact that people with narcissistic tendencies tend to be highly attracted to sources of energy, such as positive attention. In other words, I don't sleep with me, myself, and I, motherfuckers. Next, I don't sleep with the non-stop talker energy types. Energy vampires are people who use non-stop talking to drain the energy of others. They may do this in a group or individually, but the result is the same. Someone's energy is drained. It could be done by taking over a conversation, monopolizing an event, or being chatty and insistent. They don't need to speak loudly. They need to keep their victims engaged in conversation so their energy doesn't have time to recharge. If you feel drained after interacting with someone, taking a step back is crucial in assessing the situation. If you notice someone constantly taking over conversations or events, it might be a good idea to politely say no and focus on your own needs. In other words, I don't sleep with you talk too goddamn much, motherfuckers. I don't sleep with if you don't shut the fuck up right now, pieces of shits. Next, I don't sleep with the passive-aggressive energy vampire types. Someone will use passive aggression to steal energy from others. They often remain calm and friendly while draining the life force of their victims without ever saying a word. It allows them to stay unnoticed until it is too late, leaving the victim weak and exhausted. Sometimes they will take more than they are supposed to, while other times trying to convince the victim that they do not need any extra energy. They may even go so far as to accuse the victim of being selfish or self-centered. They refuse to give in. In other words, I don't sleep with vague motherfuckers. I don't make time to have sex with ambiguous shitbags. I just fucking don't. I don't sleep with the pessimist energy vampire type. They can use pessimism and fear to steal energy from others, making them feel like they need to conserve their resources. Energy vampires often use words like quote-unquote limited, quote-unquote boring, and quote-unquote and unfulfilling to try and convince people that life is not worth living. The negativity drains the vitality of those around them, leaving them tired, drained, and anxious. In other words, I don't sleep with killjoy motherfuckers. Next, I don't sleep with the rageholic energy vampire types. One way energy vampires use rage is by taking in large amounts of emotional energy. It can be done through yelling, screaming, or even feeling angry. They then use this anger to siphon off the dynamic energy of others, which they can use to power themselves or their projects. When someone is in a rage, it's hard for them to think clearly and make a good decision. It can lead them to take advantage of a particular person by attacking them physically or emotionally, draining their energy. In other words, I don't sleep with anger mismanagement motherfuckers. Next, I don't sleep with the victim energy vampire types. Energy can act like a victim to stealing energy from others. They may act needy or helpless and claim they need the person's energy and compassion to survive. Energy vampires often use emotional blackmail to get their victims to give in, claiming that if they don't give them energy, the vampire will suffer somehow. They may also use intimidation or threats to get their victims to do what they want, and may tell the victim that they will hurt themselves if they don't give them energy, or that something terrible will happen to the victim's loved ones if they don't help. Energy vampires often keep their victims in line by using fear and guilt, making it difficult for the victim to break free. In other words, I don't sleep with oh woe is me motherfuckers. I don't sleep with the vortex energy vampires. Energy vampires might use vortex energy to steal energy from other beings. They could do this by either sucking the life force out of the victims or using their vortex to trap and suck in energy. The stolen psychic energy is used to fuel their vampire-like abilities or add to their already large hoard of wealth. Energy vampires can be a dangerous and destructive force, especially if they are not stopped. They can sap the life out of others to survive and thrive, leaving them weak and invulnerable. It is essential to be aware of the damage they can cause. In other words, I don't sleep with hard-hearted motherfuckers. The other energy vampire types are so self-explanatory in their titles, I'm gonna just flat out say them. I don't sleep with the dominator energy vampires. I don't sleep with the emotional vampires. I don't sleep with the no accountability energy vampires. I don't sleep with the controller energy vampires. I don't sleep with the martyr energy vampires. I don't sleep with the manipulative energy vampires. I don't sleep with the pretending to be the innocent type of energy vampires. I don't sleep with the blame others for everything energy vampires. I don't sleep with the controlled by anger energy vampires. I don't sleep with the guilt controlled by, controlling others by guilt energy vampires. I don't sleep with the negative energy vampires. I don't sleep with the melodramatic behavior energy vampires. I don't sleep with the judgmental energy vampires. I don't sleep with the having ongoing drama in their lives energy vampires. I don't sleep with the attention hog energy vampires. I don't sleep with the dependent energy vampires. I don't sleep with the hot or cold energy vampires. I don't sleep with the minimizer energy vampires. I don't sleep with energy vampires because they love drama, they bring you down, they exude charisma. They shame trip you. They prey on your kindness. They minimize your problems. They're codependent. They one up you. They don't take responsibility. They can't enjoy the moment. And I now want to tell you what I've learned about sex. And then I'll tell you last set of stories from my sexual past, because my flashbacks just kicked in this morning. So, I've learned that sex requires compassionate love. Sex requires affection. Sex requires adoration. Sex requires fondness. Sex requires liking. Sex requires attraction. Sex requires caring. Sex requires tenderness. Sex requires empathy. Sex requires sentimentality. Sex requires healthy lust. Sex requires healthy sexual desire. Sex requires healthy sexual needs. Sex requires healthy desire. Sex requires healthy needs. Sex requires passion. Sex requires infatuation. Sex requires longing. Sex requires cheerfulness. Sex requires amusement. Sex requires bliss. Sex requires gaiety. Sex requires glee. Sex requires jolliness. Sex requires joviality. Sex requires joy. Sex requires delight. Sex requires enjoyment. Sex requires gladness. Sex requires happiness. Sex requires jubilation. Sex requires sympathy. Sex requires jubilation. Sex requires happiness. Sex requires elation. Sex requires satisfaction. Sex requires ecstasy. Sex requires euphoria. Sex requires zest. Sex requires enthusiasm. Sex requires zeal. Sex requires excitement. Sex requires thrill. Sex requires exhilaration. Sex requires contentment. Sex requires healthy pleasures. Sex requires healthy pride. Sex requires triumph. Sex requires optimism. Sex requires eagerness. Sex requires hope. Sex requires enthrallment. Sex requires rapture, not religiously speaking. Sex requires relief. Sex requires pleasant surprises. Sex requires pleasant amazement. Sex requires pleasant shocks. Sex requires pleasant astonishment. Now, when I said infatuation, I'm talking about you are smitten with the person's soul. And that can happen in casual sexual relationships, not just committed sexual relationships. If I'm smitten with your soul, that means our inner lives and outer lives are of remarkable chemistry and fabulous compatibility. In layman's terms, we get along well, right? And that can happen within casual relationships just like committed relationships, even though there's some variations, of course, and differences in meaning. So this is what I've also learned. Sex should not ever have mislabeled emotion classification. What does that mean? Don't have irritability-centered sex. Don't have aggravation-centered sex. Don't have agitation-centered sex. Don't have annoyance-centered sex. Don't have grouchy-centered sex. Don't have grumpy-centered sex. Don't have cross-patch-centered sex. Don't have exasperation-centered sex. Don't have frustration-centered sex. Don't have rage-centered sex. Don't have anger-centered sex. Don't have outrage-centered sex. Don't have fury-centered sex. Don't have wrath-centered sex. Don't have hostility-centered sex. Don't have ferocity-centered sex. Don't have bitterness-centered sex. Don't have hatred-centered sex. Don't have scorn-centered sex. Don't have spite-centered sex. Don't have vengefulness-centered sex. Don't have dislike-centered sex. Don't have resentment-centered sex. Don't have disgust-centered sex. Don't have revulsion-centered sex. Don't have contempt-centered sex. Don't have loathing-centered sex. Don't have envy-centered sex. Don't have jealousy-centered sex. Don't have torment-centered sex. Don't have torture-centered sex. Don't have suffering-centered sex. Don't have agony-centered sex. Don't have anguish-centered sex. Don't have hurt-centered sex. Don't have sadness-centered sex. Don't have depression-centered sex. Don't have despair-centered sex. Don't have gloom-centered sex. Don't have glumness-centered sex. Don't have unhappiness-centered sex. Don't have grief-centered sex. Don't have sorrow-centered sex. Don't have woe-centered sex. Don't have misery-centered sex. Don't have melancholy-centered sex. Don't have disappointment-centered sex. Don't have dismay-centered sex. Don't have displeasure-centered sex. Don't have shame-centered sex. Don't have guilt-centered sex. Don't have regret-centered sex. Don't have remorse-centered sex. Don't have neglect-centered sex. Don't have alienation-centered sex. Don't have defeatism-centered sex. Don't have dejection-centered sex. Don't have embarrassment-centered sex. Don't have homesickness-centered sex. Don't have humiliation-centered sex. Don't have insecurity-centered sex. Don't have insult-centered sex. Don't have isolation-centered sex. Don't have loneliness-centered sex. Don't have rejection-centered sex. Don't have false sympathy-centered sex. Don't have false compassion-centered sex. Don't have false empathy-centered sex. Don't have false pity-centered sex. Don't have mono-no-aware-centered sex. Don't have horror-centered sex. Don't have alarm-centered sex. Don't have unpleasant shock-centered sex. Don't have fear-centered sex. Don't have fright-centered sex. Don't have terror-centered sex. Don't have panic-centered sex. Don't have hysteria-centered sex. Don't have mortification-centered sex. Don't have nervousness-centered sex. Don't have anxiety-centered sex. Don't have suspense-centered sex. Don't have uneasiness-centered sex. Don't have apprehension-centered sex. Don't have worry-centered sex. Don't have distress-centered sex. Don't have dread-centered sex. Don't have self-abuse-centered sex. Don't have self-abasement-centered sex. Don't have self-blame-centered sex. Don't have self-destructive behavior-centered sex. Don't have self-harm-centered sex. Don't have self-hatred-centered sex. Don't have self-neglect-centered sex. Don't have self-victimization-centered sex. don't have others abuse centered sex. Don't have others abasement centered sex. Don't have others blame centered sex. Don't have others as destructive behavior centered sex. Don't have others as harm centered sex. Don't have others as hatred centered sex. Don't have others neglect centered sex. Don't have others as victimization centered sex. Don't have cynicism-centered sex. Don't have nihilism-centered sex. Don't have false optimism-centered sex. Don't have reclusion-centered sex. Don't have Weltschmerz-centered sex. Don't have fatalism-centered sex. Don't have resignation-centered sex. Don't have false acceptance-centered sex. Don't have stoicism-centered sex. Don't have negativism-centered sex. Don't have gloominess-centered sex. Don't have doom and gloom-centered sex. Don't have predeterminism-centered sex. Don't have predestinarianism-centered sex. Don't have necessitarianism-centered sex. Don't have fate-centered sex. Don't have fatedness-centered sex. Don't have passive acceptance-centered sex. Don't have acceptance of the inevitable-centered sex. Don't have negative thinking-centered sex. When it comes to sex, don't have a submissive outlook resulting from a fatalistic attitude. When it comes to sex, don't have the belief that all events are predetermined and therefore inevitable. I'll tell you what healthy sex is and is not. Sex requires healthy acceptance, healthy admiration, healthy adoration, healthy affection, healthy amusement. Sex requires appropriate reactions to aesthetic emotions. No agitation-centered sex. No agony-centered sex. No angst-centered sex. No anguish-centered sex. No annoyance-centered sex. No anxiety-centered sex. No apathy-centered sex. No boredom-centered sex. Sex requires healthy anticipation, healthy arousal, healthy attractions, healthy awe, healthy calmness. I did say sex requires healthy anticipation. Sex requires healthy compassion, healthy confidence, no confusion-centered sex, no contempt-centered sex. Sex requires contentment. Sex requires courage. No cruelty-centered sex. Sex requires healthy curiosity. No defeat-centered sex. No depression-centered sex. Sex requires healthy desires. No disappointment-centered sex. No disgust-centered sex. No distrust-centered sex. No mistrust-centered sex. Sex requires healthy doubts. But no doubt-centered sex. Sex requires healthy ecstasy. No embarrassment-centered sex. No vicarious embarrassment-centered sex. Sex requires appropriate reactions to emotion work. Sex requires empathy. No emptiness-centered sex. Sex requires healthy enthrallment. Sex requires healthy enthusiasm. No envy-centered sex. Sex requires euphoria-centered sex. Sex requires healthy excitement. Sex requires healthy faith, non-religiously speaking. Sex requires healthy knowledge. No fear-centered sex. Sex requires healthy flows. No frustration-centered sex. Sex requires healthy gratification. Sex requires healthy gratitude. No greed-centered sex. No grief-centered sex. No guilt-centered sex. Sex requires healthy happiness. No hatred-centered sex. No hooray-centered sex. No homesickness-centered sex. Sex requires healthy hope, not religiously speaking. No horror-centered sex. No hostility-centered sex. No humiliation-centered sex. No hysteria-centered sex. Sex requires healthy indulgence. Sex requires healthy infatuation. No insecurity-centered sex. Sex requires healthy inspiration. Sex requires healthy interest. No hyuji-centered sex. No irritation-centered sex. No isolation-centered sex. No jealousy-centered sex. Sex requires healthy joy. Sex requires healthy kindness. No loneliness-centered sex. Sex requires compassionate love. Sex requires compassionate limerence. Sex requires compassionate love at first sight. Sex requires healthy, compassionate lust. No mono nor aware centered sex. No neglect centered sex. No nostalgia centered sex. No outrage centered sex. No panic centered sex. Sex requires healthy passion. No pity centered sex. No self pity centered sex. Sex requires healthy pleasure. Sex requires healthy pride. No grandiosity-centered sex. No hubris-centered sex. No insult-centered sex. No vanity-centered sex. No rage-centered sex. No regret-centered sex. No rejection-centered sex. No rejection-centered sex. No social rejection-centered sex. Sex requires healthy relief. No remorse-centered sex. No resentment-centered sex. No revenge-centered sex. No sadness-centered sex. No melancholy-centered sex. No saw-a-date-centered sex. No schadenfreude-centered sex. No zizut-centered sex. Sex requires healthy sentimentality. No shame-centered sex. Sex requires pleasant shock. No shyness-centered sex. Even though shyness is beautiful, I'm just saying. Sex requires healthy social connection. No sorrow-centered sex. No spite-centered sex. No stress-centered sex. No chronic stress-centered sex. No suffering-centered sex. Sex requires pleasant surprises. Sex requires healthy sympathy. Sex requires healthy trust. Sex requires healthy wonder. Sex requires healthy sense of wonder. No worry-centered sex. Now it's time for me to tell you the truth about my final set of stories about my sexual past. When I was a person of collegiate time frame, I remember some of the women I was involved with were Christian cougars. They claim adoration for Jesus and boiling hot admiration for young men. I remember sometimes going to churches just to meet women. Now, not all of my reasons for going to church were holy, largely in part because of the childhood traumas of my past. So we would do everything Pentecostal. We would dance, praise. We would praise dance in the aisle. Sometimes praise dance in the pew sometimes, we would get a quickening of the Holy Spirit in the pews and the aisles. We would pretty much grab each other's arms, and that's how we would be in the aisles together, and we were seatmates in the pews together. And we would sing the gospel songs that were sung in the church. We would sing them to each other and look at each other and just start singing it. And we would lip sync praises to God together in the aisles and in the pews. And when we would sing the gospel songs to each other, it would be in the aisles and the pews. And I remember we would just run laps around the church with other people together. Like, we would hold each other's arms and just sprint around the church sanctuary. At the time, I genuinely felt that I was glorifying God. None of it was fake on my part. And even the Christian Cougars, I don't think it was fake on their part. And here's why. Because they were trauma survivors too. Now, not all Christian Cougars are trauma survivors. I get that. And not all non-Christian Cougars are trauma survivors. I get that too. But like I told you, every woman I had sex with was a survivor of emotional, physical, sexual, intellectual, psychological, spiritual, academic traumas, and romantic traumas. And I had all these traumas too. So we did truly have a heart for Jesus, but at the same time, we were just so grateful to finally have somebody to feel like, okay, I get to praise God with somebody that is just like me. He's the male version of me. So I think it was sincere, because we talked about each other's childhoods, you know, and we really had a heart for each other. Did we know how to express it in all the wholesome ways? No. We were used to not getting the help we needed. They didn't get the help they needed longer than me because they were older than me. So, and they had the same internal brain wavelength, meaning they were as mature as I was. But they were older, of course. So we pretty much, even, we felt like we're performing exorcisms together on certain people. You know, that may came off demonic. I'm not talking about non-believers. I'm talking about people that you just felt this evil around them, and we would do exorcisms on them, and they would just stop their evil aura after a while, meaning they would act normal and pleasant, and people around us like, oh my God, y'all are truly holy. So we got that a lot. We got a lot of verbal accolades from the church people around us. Now, I remember just, you know, women had cars, so they would, I would meet women, and they would tell me what church they would go to. And what we would do was, I would say, oh, okay, tell me more about this church. I would say, and you know, when they would talk about, oh, the good stuff they do. And I expressed like, wow, I would like to go. And they would say, okay, you know, I know where to pick you up. So they'll pick me up from my dorm sometimes. Other times, I remember just walking, or I would just walk at a certain place, and they would pick me up from there. We would go. So I was going to church with women in their cars. And I remember, you know, at the time, that they we would worship together. Sometimes, to tell you the truth, they would pick me up, and then we would fornicate in their homes, and we would still make it early to church after the fornicating in their homes. And yes, we use birth control. And we would go to church, do all the Pentecostal behaviors, and then yeah, you know, they're part of ministries, you know, feeding the homeless, clothing naked, take care of the poor, those type of ministries. And I would assist them in these things, you know, hang a pile around, and people go, oh, okay, you're new here, you're gospel, oh my God, da, da. So I helped them out with their initiatives, what they would do sometimes here and there. And after church let out, you know, we would get in their cars, go home, and we would fornicate in their homes. Sometimes they would take me out to eat. Women didn't like me spending money, so they liked spending money on me. And we knew that we were going to fornicate. It was just we were giving each other that look and the way we would talk to each other and flirt with each other. We kept the flirting to a very bare minimum because it was God's house, but when it was just us, it was a lot of flirting, and we were very upfront about, hey, I want your birthday suit. All right, I want your birthday suit too. So we had that kind of arrangement, and that's what happened in my past. I can honestly say that church women pursued me the most, sexually speaking. And I also remember engaging in most of the orgies I had with women. A very small amount of orgies were bisexual orgies, men, women. But most of the orgies I was in, I was usually the only male and everybody else were women. Being male means being a man. So that's what happened to. And yes, we used birth control. Because, you know, we all insisted, hey, we're gonna have our fun, but let's not put each other in the hospital to the doctors. Let's not make it easy for ourselves to go see surgeons. So that's what happened. And it's not easy for me to tell these stories. Overall, many people ask my body count, and even the concept freaks me out, no pun intended, because I never count any of my partners. Other people would, I never would. I just like, don't tell them the number, I really don't care. But usually it was the women counting body counts. And I would tell them, stop. It's dehumanizing. But they would insist on, but you being with all these women, they would count a little bit of they counted the men, but the men were about less than 10 amount. But they counted them, but they would count the women. Like, they really would count other women. I'm just like, these are women I was cool with. I slept with them too. So they count themselves a number. And they were just constantly talking about it. And I'm like trying to tell them, please, like, stop it. I'm a gentleman. We're not into body counts. We're into women for all the right reasons. they'll go, yeah, that's exactly why I'm recounting your body count, because I like that a gentleman was a lot of women. That's what they said, a bunch of lot of women. So, people ask, so what's your body count, Tony? And I'm just like, all I can say is, my body count is innumerable. It was that high amount of sex that I had in the past. Don't have sexual acute stress disordered sex. Don't have sexual emotional dysregulation sex. Don't have sexual hypervigilance centered sex. Don't have sexual repressed memory centered sex. Don't have rape survivor guilt centered sex. Don't have sexual trauma trigger centered sex. Don't have sexual trauma stimulus centered sex. Don't have sexual trauma stressor sex. Don't have sexual trauma reminder sex. Don't have sexual traumatic coupling sex. Don't have sexual panic attack centered sex. Don't have sexual flashback centered sex. Don't have sexual post-traumatic stress disorder SPTSD centered sex. Don't have sexual trigger warning sex. Don't have sexual content warning sex. Don't have sexual heart attack centered sex. Don't have sexual repression centered sex. Don't have sexual suppression centered sex. Sex requires decision making. Sex requires problem solving. Sex requires conflict resolution. Sex requires creative thinking. Sex requires lateral thinking. Sex requires critical thinking. Sex requires communication. Sex requires interpersonal skills. Sex requires self-awareness. Yeah, sex does require communication skills. Sex requires assertiveness. Sex requires equanimity. Sex requires resilience in coping with emotions and coping with stress. Sex requires emotional management. Sex requires financial literacy. Sex requires literacy. Sex requires numeracy skills. Sex requires lifelong learning. Sex requires professional and personal development. Sex requires transversal skills. Sex requires citizenship skills. Sex requires healthy attitude. Sex requires emotional intelligence. Sex requires emotional literacy. Sex requires emotional self-regulation. Sex requires gelatology. Sex requires hope theory. Sex requires healthy impermanence. Sex requires kindness. Sex requires life skills-based education. Sex requires healthy moral development. Sex requires people skills. Sex requires professional boundaries. Sex requires personal boundaries. Sex requires positive psychology. Sex requires social intelligence. Sex requires social skills. Sex requires soft skills. Sex requires study skills. Sex requires the theory of multiple intelligences, because sex requires multiple intelligences. It's optional for sex to have vocational skills. And sex requires ruler, meaning sex requires the five key emotion skills of recognizing, understanding, labeling, expressing, and regulating emotions. Sex requires companionate love. Sex requires sacrificial love. Sex requires unconditional love. Sex requires selfless love. Sex requires self-love. Sex requires agape love, non-religiously speaking. Sex requires neighborly love. sex requires, for some people, pragma enduring love. Sex requires eros, passionate love, for some people. Sex requires ludus, playful love, for some people. Sex requires universal love. Sex requires philia, deep friendship. Sex requires philosophy. Sex requires philosophia. For parents in committed relationships, storge familial love is appropriate for them. Sex requires healthy mania. Sex requires healthy obsessive love for some people. For some people, sex requires infatuated love. For some people, sex requires romantic love. For some people, sex requires consummate love. For some people, sex requires fatuous love. And when it comes to sex, there are many people escaping empty love and unrequited love. For some people, sex requires requited love. Healthy, fatuous love, because it also has intimacy between the partners. And as I conclude, it just makes me more understanding of the fact that sex requires liking, and you can treat someone well, right? That's what I mean by sex requires that kind of love. And when it says non-love, it's like, well, it doesn't have to be commitment love, but I treat you well kind of love. Sex requires interpersonal attraction. Sex requires interpersonal affection. Sex requires interpersonal ties. Sex requires social support. I'm glad that all my sexual past stories are fully out. And I don't allow my sexual past to sexually ruin me.